Welcome to GovIT, a monthly podcast series from TD SYNNEX Public Sector. We discuss the next generation of public sector IT solutions with the technology innovators driving the change. I'm your host, Tom Temin. In this episode, we sit down with Ned Miller, Vice President for CrowdStrike Federal, to discuss the latest edition of CrowdStrike's Global Threat Report. This report comes at a crucial time for cyber defenders around the world. Organizations are focusing on managing remote and hybrid teams, operationalizing years of digital transformation, and navigating the uncertain global economy. Adversaries have become more sophisticated, relentless, and damaging in their attacks. As a result, a number of disruptive trends emerged in 2022 that threaten productivity and global stability. Ned, it's good to have you with us.
Thank you, Tom.
Let's talk about what has become kind of a anticipated annual report that comes from CrowdStrike on the general threat environment. What are some of the highlights of the latest one just out?
Sure, Tom. Some of the areas that we would expect based on previous year's reports that we would start with is around identity attacks. Last year, we highlighted that 80% of the cyber attacks leverage some form of identity credential theft. This year, there was a pretty significant jump. It improved to about 112% year-over-year increase. And we observed this through our ability to look into where some of the adversaries advertise access broker services. So it's where they actually sell access to the credentials that have been compromised. So we've got pretty good insight into some of the threats. But the identity area is one of which we're highly encouraging our customers to focus and set a priority for this year going forward.
And just as an aside, it's interesting that they are openly selling these things in places they know the good guys can see them selling it.
Absolutely. There's no shame in them monetizing their efforts at this point.
And what are some of the other trends relative to last year?
Yeah, there's a couple of areas that stood out, Tom. Perhaps one of the most important observations and takeaways from the report is as technology matures, regardless of what it may be, whether it's artificial intelligence that's got a lot of news media coverage at this point or other areas, the innovation around security has to evolve and align with that same path. And it really doesn't matter what the advancements are. Our technology environments continue to get more complex and in an effort to provide operational efficiencies. So the security innovation aspect of the report is really kind of front and center. Although we're chasing productivity gains, security matters just as much. So that concept of security being built into customers' architecture is critical to everyone's success. So the new areas in respect to the report, there's an emerging class of what we would consider e-crime threat actors that are leveraging a concept that we refer to as fileless attacks to target high-profile organizations. This is, simply put, malware that uses legitimate executables or software to infect a computer, and it doesn't rely on files and leaves no footprint, and therefore it makes it really challenging to detect and quite honestly, remove. That's a new area that clearly has gotten our attention and we've recorded it in the report as well. The second area, there's four. The second area, we talked about identity protection, but more specifically, as it relates to how adversaries are attacking multi-factor authentication systems. So Tom, you and I have spoken in the past and we've talked about the concept of zero trust and how important multi-factor authentication is. And as a result, what we're seeing is adversaries are leveraging social engineering and phishing pages to actually capture authentication credentials in an effort to then escalate their privilege and do some bad things to other resources. The third area is the cloud. As we have all become accustomed to the cloud being part of our standard architectures these days, it's become more of a prevalent target, as I'll consider it. So adversaries have accelerated their cloud exploitation tactics and have compromised a lot of the cloud infrastructure. So again, they're leveraging tactics like credential theft, privilege escalation, lateral movement. They've even gotten so sophisticated, they're evading what we would consider security products that we have already deployed in the cloud by deactivating those products once they get the privilege escalation. What we've observed is they are actually destroying. They've been pretty destructive once they get into an organization's cloud. They remove access to accounts, terminate services, and they're destroying data.
Wow, no kidding.
The last element, the fourth element that we've observed, which is really interesting, is even after patches are installed to systems with a known vulnerability, attackers have demonstrated the ability to actually circumvent the patch with pretty sophisticated means to actually go back after the asset that's already been patched and compromise it anyway. So that was a mouthful, Tom. So I covered a lot of ground there.
Yeah, it sounds almost, if you tie these together in some manner, as if the adversaries are using artificial intelligence, for example, to get around a patch they anticipate. I wonder if they've gotten more sophisticated at their own machine learning and automation.
As a matter of fact, they have. And we've made those observations as well in the report, as well as we've seen it through our ongoing work with incident response efforts, as well as some of the more advanced cases that we've come across as an organization. So it's certainly an area of concern, but their sophistication aligns to that theme that I introduced of as we innovate in technology, so does the adversary's ability to leverage that same innovation as another attack vector that we need to pay attention to.
Now, the government has put a lot of wood behind its zero trust arrowhead over the last couple of years, a lot of money, a lot of policy development there. Does the zero trust agenda help in these kinds of new attacks and new vectors you've identified?
Yes, I believe it certainly does. And it's certainly a great strategy. And directionally, it will certainly help a lot of organizations address several of the threat vectors that we talked about and we shared in the report much more extensively. As you're aware, the White House Executive Order 14028 on improving the nation's cybersecurity that was released back in May of 2021 clearly has had a positive impact, and they've driven the zero trust adoption across agencies and departments with that EO. One of the biggest challenges, though, Tom, that government faces is time. So if you look at it from the adversary perspective, they have all the time in the world, and they can leverage all the technology innovations, as you said, like AI, in near real time. As you know all too well, our government defenders, they've got a well-known kind of time-consuming, some consider a bureaucratic process to follow if they follow the procurement to deployment timeline. So unfortunately, we see time is on the side of the adversary in this case.
And Ned, we hear a lot about cyber threat hunting. A lot of people talk about that these days. How does CrowdStrike define threat hunting? And what are some of the best practices to hunt threats?
Tom, this is one of my favorite topics, and it's come up quite often. We're promoting the concept as a complement to organizations that are adopting zero trust architectures. We've talked to a number of authoritative sources at NIST and DoD, et cetera, and you'll now start to see threat hunting in the zero trust commentary from those authoritative sources in what they consider the advanced stages. But from our perspective, it's the practice of proactively searching for cyber threats that are kind of lurking undetected across an organization. And by definition, an organization today consists of endpoints and servers, networks, mobile devices, and cloud workloads. So it's much bigger than just searching for vulnerabilities on endpoints. So hunting and digging deep into these assets requires particular skill set and technology to go do it. And we're strongly recommending that customers develop this skill set, make it proactive, adversary-based, and include it in their standard best practices as they're adopting their zero trust capabilities.
It's almost like running downfield instead of waiting till the runner with the football gets to you.
Exactly. And if you believe in the concept or follow or subscribe to the concept of learning your adversary and what their intentions are as part of your defensive practice, it's kind of aligning to you want to be proactive, but in many organizations, they're either resource constrained in either the number of people they have or the skill sets they have to be able to do this. And as a result, they find themselves on defense all the time. This begins to put us on offense where we can proactively look for indicators of attack, indicators of compromise by studying the adversary. So for example, not in this particular report, we do identify a number of the bad actors or threat actors in a report itself, but we track over a couple of hundred of what I call the worst of the worst. And they all have derivative works, right? So they'll attack with one particular attack threat vector, and then they'll change it or modify it slightly. And then there's derivative works of it. So in order to get out in front of that, you need someone helping you stay out in front of all of those derivative works, and you have to be proactive to go look for it. And that's where we're actually helping our customers get out in front of the adversary.
And that's a good time to ask you then to put on your cybersecurity trusted advisor hat there, Ned. And what are the top three or four recommendations you have for federal organizations that are looking at this type of threat landscape going into deeper into 23 and thinking about their 24 investments?
Sure, absolutely. So in the report, there are five specific steps that we are recommending to our customers and the ecosystem to be prepared for the types of attacks that we've identified. It's really gain visibility into your security gaps. Zero trust efforts will help with that. Prioritize identity protection. We can't state enough that identity is the primary attack vector today. So protect your credentials. And it's a lot more than just serving up your identity credentials. You really need someone to monitor or watch the watcher, Tom. So it's continuously monitoring the behavior. And we actually leverage AI to watch users' behavior, looking for anomalies, and leverage policy engines to detect when someone might have escalated their privilege and they're attempting to do something out of the norm. Prioritize cloud protection, because obviously we identified that's a key target area as well. And the fourth item is really know your adversary. So getting your zero trust house in order, evaluating how you're protecting identity today, and work to build a proactive threat hunting capability that's continuous is really the recommendation we have for going forward.
Ned, any final thoughts?
Yes, Tom. One that's top of mind, and that's once you have all your zero trust capabilities deployed, a key question to ask is how will you know when zero trust is working? So I believe zero trust hunting at the edge will be the next thing we start to talk about, Tom. So stay tuned for that. And I look forward to our next opportunity to get together.
All right. Ned Miller is Vice President of CrowdStrike Federal. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you, Tom.
For more information on CrowdStrike's Global Threat Report, please visit CrowdStrike.com. You've been listening to GovIT from TD SYNNEX Public Sector. We'll be back soon with more public sector IT content. I'm Tom Temin.